Robert R. McCammon joins us again on Pot of Horror. His new novel, Mr. Slaughter, another Matthew Corbett colonial-era thriller, comes out in January from Subterranean Press, and he's back on the show with us again. Thank you very much for talking with us.
Very good to be here. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Let me ask you, first of all, a question that I'm sure a lot of people have when this book comes out. Why is Mr. Slaughter coming out from Subterranean Press? And not a knock against them. They do great work.
Yeah.
But not from a major New York publisher.
Well, you know, right off the bat, you're getting me in the hot water. Well, not really hot water. You know, I just didn't pocket did the last book.
Did Queen of Bedlam.
Queen of Bedlam, and, you know, I don't think they did a very good job promoting it, and I don't think they did a very good job getting it out in the stores. So, you know, I thought, well, you know, New York Publishing is going through a lot of problems right now in terms of the economy, in terms of a lot of things that are going on, and really at Pocket, all the people I used to work with when I was at Pocket years and years ago, they're all gone. So, you know, I don't really know anybody there. And so I said, well, you know what, I had this opportunity to go to Subterranean, and Bill Schaefer of Subterranean was very interested in the book and gave me a lot of good feedback, and which is something that sometimes you don't get from New York publishers is good feedback. And I thought, you know, give him a shot. Let's see what develops.
Well, I know that the early reviews for the novel have been very good, and I know, and this won't be a spoiler because I know that you have announced that you will soon be beginning another Matthew Corbett novel.
Yeah.
And is this in your mind an open-ended series, or do
no,
you?
No, they're going to be 10 books.
And you have a definite end for the character in mind.
I have a definite ending. Yeah, the ending is set up, and I know where I'm going. And
you don't see Matthew hanging around to meet Ben Franklin and signing the Declaration of Independence or anything.
No. Yeah. No. It's going to be 10 books, and then but in between these books, I'm going to be doing a contemporary novel.
Right, and I want to ask you that, but if I could get back to Mr. Slaughter,
yeah.
And I don't know, when you were on with us 2 years ago, I don't know that I asked you this, but as a reading Mr. Slaughter, I wonder, because you create such a vivid and convincing world in this Matthew Corbett series.
Thanks.
How much research goes into this?
Oh, tremendous amount of research. I mean, really, you know, years and years ago, I probably wasn't disciplined enough to be able to do something like this, because it takes a tremendous amount of discipline to really look up everything and make sure you got everything right. And there are a lot of things that I've not gotten right, and I realize I'm hedging on a lot of things because just in terms of the story. And I was reading something, I got a review the other night, Dave, that says, you know, there are some anachronisms in the book, and of course there are. But, you know, it would probably be impossible to write an historically based a book of fiction without having some anachronisms in the book somewhere, even the language. Because if you were going to try to write it exactly as happened, I mean, if you could, I think it'd be impossible to write exactly accurate history. But even the language, people probably couldn't understand the language, you know. So you have to do that. And so as soon as you change the language up a little bit, it becomes anachronistic.
Sure, sure.
You know?
But the end product, at least as far as I'm concerned as a reader, is convincing.
You're trying to do as good a job as possible in terms of conveying the historical reality.
Right. And if Matthew pulled out a cell phone
and couldn't do that.
Or Googled somebody, then it might throw me out of the story a little bit.
And even the words, I mean, the language, you must pay attention to the idea that, was this word used? Was this word in existence in this era? You know, it may not be. So there have been circumstances when I've had, that's a pretty good line, I think, you know, where I'm going in a certain direction here with the language, and I realize, let me check the language. And it's a situation where you really have to check the language word by word.
I'm just imagining the daunting task before you wrote your very first Corbett book. I mean, where did you go to buy a pair of pants?
You made them mostly, but I mean, there were places to buy.
Yeah, or you know, what was served in taverns, and you know,
right.
All the details just amazing
right.
to me. But I noticed on your website in a recent brief essay. On the front page of your website, you say that the careful attention that you had to pay to the use of language in the Matthew Corbett books, you think has paid off dividends as far as writing work with contemporary settings.
Exactly right. I do think that's true. It has put me more in tune with language. And I've realized in this writing this last book, you know, I've been looking up so many words and paying such close attention to language that now in my newest book, it's like, well, you know, I want to express this, and it used to be as a writer, you'd think, oh, well, I have several ways to express this, which would be the best way to express it. And now it's almost coming more naturally and clearer to me, and I think that's a benefit from working with language in the Corbett series.
Could I ask you about the new book? I know we're certainly some ways away from being able to read this, but I know that you've said it's a contemporary novel. It's called The Five. Yeah. It's about a rock band.
Yes.
And does this fall in the horror genre?
Well, there is a supernatural element. Mm-hmm. There is a horrific element. Whether it's really truly horror in terms of what I used to do, I'm not sure. It's
right.
Just a different novel. This rock band is on they're really not a very successful band, and they're on their last tour in Southwest through Texas and through New Mexico, Arizona, into California, and back. And they decide there are two members who are leaving. They've announced they're leaving, and the band's going to break up. And so the leader of the band decides, you know, what can hold the band together for this last month that we have. And they decide, he says, we need to write a song together. And everybody needs to be part of this song, and this will be some evidence that we existed, some evidence that we were here will be this song. And so anyway, the book is what happens after they start writing the song. And there, like I say, there is a supernatural element.
Well, I'm sure that many of your fans who, despite maybe their enjoyment of the Matthew Corbett series, are excited to hear that you're writing a contemporary book. And it's my understanding that you hope to go back and forth between the two, writing a Corbett and then writing a more contemporary book.
Yeah, you know, I'm getting ready to get started on the new Matthew Corbett book. So it's going to be interesting because, you know, the language is totally different. And the language, and I have to say, there's a lot of profanity in the Five, because it's, you know, it's that's the world.
Sure.
That's the world as it is, and the rock world, I mean, is really pretty tough, you know. But anyway, the language and the style of writing is completely different in the Five than it is, of course, in the Matthew Corbett series. Now, going back to the Corbett series for the next book is going to be very interesting to see how I handle that for me, because it's so different from what I've been doing for 9 months, you know.
There's going to there'll be a bit of a learning curve as you start again.
I'm going to have to go back and read again Queen of Bedlam and Mr. Slaughter to get back into the flow of the language.
What did you do as far as research for the rock side of things? Are you a musician?
Well, I do. I know I play keyboards a bit, and I love music, and I've loved music all my life, and you know, and I do have friends who are in bands, who used to be in bands, and I have some connections, and you know, people I know in the business who do mostly on the business side of things, and so that's really how I did my research. I didn't get a chance to follow a band; I didn't have the time to do that. But I think I got the world down pretty solid.
So you had people you could check on for the profanity anyway, right?
I sure did. Absolutely, absolutely, I did. Yeah.
Well, that's good. Now, when you start a Matthew Corbett or a contemporary novel, how much of the story do you already have figured out when you start on page one? Any of it at all?
Yeah. Well, I know kind of where the story is going. I mean, I know actually how it begins. I know how it's going to end.
But you don't plot in extensive detail?
No, I don't. But I know how it's going to begin. I know how it's going to end. And sometimes I have the last line in mind, so I know where I'm going. And then I sort of have signpost scenes between the beginning and the end. I don't know exactly how I'm going to get there, what's going to happen to get me there. But it's, you know, and that's the way that I enjoy writing. I mean, I really don't want to know exactly where I'm going.
So a part of the pleasure for you is just the discovery on the journey, I guess.
It is. That's exactly right. I mean, and that's a very fun thing for me is to discover, realize where I'm going. And again, when you're writing, you have many choices of paths to take. So it's very interesting to see, well, you know, you come to the point where, you know, what's the correct path to take? And it's almost like then you suddenly you know it. You know, suddenly it's there. This is the correct path to take. And it's almost a... You know, I'm going to use this word. It's almost a spiritual journey to write a book, because you know, it's like, well, I'm doing this, but you know, you come to a path of where you say you have five or six ways to go. You know which way to go, and I know somebody said to me, well, you write in a mystic fashion, don't you? you're a mystic or whatever. I said, no, I mean, it's not mystical, but there is some sense of you're doing it, but it's coming together in a way you don't sometimes understand.
Was it always that way for you, even from the beginning? Or
it was always. Yes, it was.
Really?
It was,
so yeah. It wasn't learning to trust yourself. It was just you knew that it was the right move to make.
Part of that is as you get experience, you mm-hmm. trust yourself more and more. But it's so much fun to kind of feel like you're reading the book for the first time. And like I say, I know where it's beginning. I know the beginning. I know where it's going to end, usually, most times. But the fun to me is to be between those two poles, beginning and the end, to just kind of be reading it and going as the reader would read it.
Has the ending changed for you while writing a novel?
Rarely, because usually the beginning is set and usually the ending is set. Mm-hmm. It's just getting there.
I'm sure that for the Matthew Corbett series, you do have to read a lot of nonfiction and do a lot of research. Do you read fiction for pleasure? And
I'm getting back to reading fiction mm-hmm. for pleasure because, as you say, you know, doing the historical work, it takes so much reading and so much attention to detail, and that's the deal—the attention to detail—and that can kind of wear you out in a way from reading because you're kind of so tired after you've been so attentive to the detail that you need. That you almost just kind of want to lay back and just kind of, you know, as we were talking earlier, watch football or do that or just do nothing, you know?
Sure. Boys' Life, when we talked to you last time, I'm sure that many people express this to you on a regular basis. I told you that this was one of the great reads of my life, and I've recommended it to so
Thank
many
you.
People.
Thank you.
And on your website, robertmccammon.com, an entry back in September, you talk about speaking to a group of students, and for that talk, you were asked what the character Corey from Boy's Life would be doing now, and you actually present a letter from Corey, and I found that fascinating.
I did. I got a letter from Corey explaining to me exactly what he was doing. So,
yeah, so. not too many times do you see writers revisiting characters from 20 years ago and just an update, not in a work of fiction to be published, but just an update on their status. I found that fascinating.
Just a quick update on the status, and this was at the Jesuit High School in New Orleans, and everybody there was had read the book. All the students had read the book. Most of the parents had read the book, and so I thought that was a I thought that was a good place to sort of talk about what Corey was doing now.
Is that the book you get asked about the most? I'm not sure that is your best-selling novel, or maybe it is, what do you get the most feedback on?
I think I do get the most feedback, though I get a lot of feedback on Swan Song. But I think Boy's Life is probably the book that I get the most feedback. And I think the reason for that is, the book wasn't written for kids or for young people. But, I mean, younger readers have really picked it up. And actually what I found is that parents picked it up for their children because they think, well, maybe this is a book that my child will enjoy reading. And I've gotten many letters from parents saying, this is the only book that my child will read or the only book that my child really likes, you know?
Right.
So it really wasn't written for kids, but kids have really picked up on it. And then also elderly people seem to really like it too. So,
really?
So I think I get a lot of feedback because it has such a wide range of readers
mm-hmm.
in terms of age.
Now you mentioned Swan Song. That has just recently been re-released in trade paperback.
Yeah.
Do you go back ever and reread your older novels?
You know, I don't because I go back and my deal is I always, because I do try to pay attention to detail, I always go back and see places where I should have done better, and I shouldn't have written that. Oh, why? And now if I was going to rewrite this, I would never have put that in there. Oh, that makes me just crawl to see that. So, and I think I'm super sensitive to that. And even books I wrote, you know, a couple of years ago or whatever, I have trouble going back and reading because I always think my writing has gotten better and better, or at least I like to think it's gotten better and better. But looking back makes me a little bit uncomfortable.
I understand. What of yours is not in print now? Are there a lot of the older novels?
I think the first three are not in print. I think they're in print in Europe, and how that happened, I have no idea. But I think they're in print in Europe, I believe.
But everything else is?
Yeah, everything else is, right. I think it's just the first three. And the reason that for that, you know, I get also letters and comments of, you know, well, I like those books, and why don't you like? And it's not that I don't like them, but it's just that, you know, I was such a beginner then, and most writers, by the time they have a first book out, probably have a couple or two or three trunk novels in which they've sort of at least started to try to learn to write. The first book I ever wrote, Bale, was the first book I ever wrote. I mean, the first book that was published. So I had no opportunity to learn to write except in public, which I kind of learned to write in public. So, you know, the first three books were, you know, they were not the best. They were the best I could do at the time, let me say
sure.
that. The best I could do at the time.
Has there been movie interest in your novels?
You know, it comes and goes. I have some things out, optioned. We're waiting to see, you know, and that's kind of a common thing. You're just waiting
right.
to see if people can get the money together and that sort of thing. But, you know, that would be great if that would happen, but I can't, you know, I can't put all my eggs in that basket, or really any eggs in that basket, because my thing is writing the novels.
Right.
You know, I'd love for there to be a movie. That'd be great. I might not like the movie, or people might hate the movie, or might do well, whatever. I don't know. But my thing is writing. My thing is the book.
I recall the CBS revival of Twilight Zone in the 80s adapted one of your short stories.
Yeah, that's right. Nightcrawlers.
Were you happy with that?
Oh, I think it. Yeah, I was very happy.
I thought it was a good episode.
Though I have heard some people later said that it was so intense, and it upset so many people that it actually hurt the series.
Really?
Yes.
Well, then they did their job. I guess.
They did do their job, but at that point it was so intense and upset so many people that some of the suits who were putting the show together were kind of unnerved by it.
Wow.
And they thought people might not like the series because if this is the way it was going to go, it was going to be too intense for normal people to enjoy.
Was that before Harlan Ellison had some bad experiences getting censored on the show?
I think that was about the same time uh-huh. frame. Yeah.
And then it went into syndication for a while, I think,
yeah,
after that,
yeah,
didn't
that's
it?
Right. That's right.
Well, we certainly are looking forward to Mr. Slaughter, having had a chance to read it before it came out. I can highly recommend it to fans of Robert McCammon and fans of the Matthew Corbett novels. Look forward to further entries. And I guess we're a little too early for any sort of announcement about your contemporary rock band novel, The Five.
Oh, yeah. I don't know exactly when that's going to be out. I mean, it's just making the rounds of publishers
sure.
now. So we'll see how that goes. But hopefully, you know, it'll be, well, next year, we hope.
And we can certainly stay updated at robertmccammon.com.
Yeah, thank you.
And thank you again for speaking with us. And anything you'd like to say to the Crimson Tide out there in case they're tuned in?
Roll Tide. What else can I say? Roll Tide.
In that national championship game, good luck.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And thank you for speaking with us again.
I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.